Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
If you're like me, you've often thought, sure, this pandemic has been hard, emotionally draining, frustrating, terrifying, angering, anxiety triggering, left me feeling helpless, trapped, restricted, lonely, craving human touch, constantly on guard, and generally exhausted. But come on, life, throw some more crap on my plate. Don't worry. Thanks to the way life works, now there's always something else to worry about. That's right, no more worrying that a global threat is all you have to deal with. Now, you can rest uneasy, knowing that there'll always be at least one other thing that you have to deal with that would really be enough of a big deal on its own, but hey, why not add it on top of the pandemic? Always Something Else to Worry About, brought to you by the makers of Cruel Faith and Extra Strength What the F*** Now.
Welcome to KDBD Midday News, Ion, Minnesota.
It's been a tough week for news. There's so much to get into. But first, we start with the trial of Derek Chauvin.
Yes, and I just want to say this has been highly emotional for everybody, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, watching this trial brought back so many bad feelings from last summer.
I know. I felt myself getting angry all over again.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought the prosecution did an excellent job questioning the medical examiners.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Yep. Yeah, but the video footage alone should tell you everything mm-hmm. you need to know about what happened.
100%.
No doubt about it.
Okay, but and hopefully justice will be served.
That'd be nice.
God willing.
Sounds like we all agree there's no way Derek Chauvin walks away from this.
Okay, wait a second. You guys aren't buying into Chauvin's defense, are you?
Of course not.
I mean, the defense trying to make a case that George Floyd's drug use was somehow responsible is just deplorable.
It was a clear act of desperation to create doubt where there is none.
Exactly, and there's no way the jury's gonna fall for that.
I'm not saying
about that.
Wait, so what are you guys trying to say?
Look, y'all seem like good people.
Let's just say we've seen this movie before.
Boom!
You know what?
That's fair. I think skepticism of the legal process is valid.
There you
That's
go.
All we're saying.
Yeah, historically, police have gotten away in other cases like yep. this.
Historically?
She means every single time.
Oh, got it.
But after all the protests that happened last summer, there's no way this doesn't go the way we hope.
She means
well. She don't know what she's talking about.
Okay, hang on. You guys can at least admit this country has made a lot of progress recently, yeah?
For who?
When?
Maybe don't go there, Craig.
No, please. Go there, Craig.
Yes. Yes. I do want to hear what Craig Jorgensen has to say about the Black experience.
Okay, look. I want to choose my words carefully here. So to quote Thomas Jefferson...
He did not just say Thomas
Jefferson.
That's
a bad start.
Let's get another opinion on this.
Yeah. Let's ask our weatherman, Calvin.
Yeah, let's ask Calvin. Mm-hmm.
Calvin!
Man, don't put me into this mess. Yep, I'm still in hot water for being in that Paul Pierce video.
No, this is important. We want to hear from you.
Look, I don't want to get fired, but obviously it's an open and shut case.
Thank you.
That's what we're saying, yes.
That being said, he's a white cop in Minnesota, so I'm gonna guess probation would pay taps.
Please. Yeah, you feel me?
That part.
Fine, maybe you're right, but for the sake of our city, I hope justice is finally served.
Agreed.
I'm with you there.
Okay, yes, absolutely.
The last thing we want is another riot.
Amen to that.
And I think we can all agree that no matter how bad things are, destroying property is never the answer.
I wouldn't say never.
It's just property.
There's insurance.
Well, sorry, but it's not just property. I mean, I just think protests should be nonviolent.
Well, thank you for that little note, Craig.
Yes. We'll be sure to tell the others, Craig Matthew Jorgensen.
Okay, that's not fair.
This is getting a little heated. Maybe we should move on.
No, I think this is a good dialogue.
Yep. I agree. Yes, this is how we reach an understanding, and, at least we agree on the obvious stuff.
Yeah, like there's a glaring discrepancy in the way Black people are treated by police.
Can't deny that.
Yes.
And we need concrete solutions to fix this problem.
That's what I think.
No argument there.
Okay, and we start with reparations.
No, wait just a minute.
I thought I had him.
Oh, that was a good try.
I thought I had him.
Moving on, Tucker Carlson was caught supporting white replacement theory on a hot mic in front of hot cameras on his Fox Nation show, where that's what the show is.
In a democracy, one person equals one vote. If you change the population, you dilute the political power of the people who live there. So every time they import a new voter, I become disenfranchised as a current voter. The power that I have as an American, guaranteed at birth, is one man, one vote. And they're diluting it.
Tucker there elaborating on the classic voting rights concept of one man, one vote, no new people, and I never die.
He's correct to note that with each new naturalization ceremony, we see a drastic reduction in the political power of number one cable news host, multimillionaire Tucker Carlson.
Amy, is Tucker out of bounds here giving voice on television to insane theories from the fringe core of our national psyche?
I think it's really problematic, obviously, because it's why you're seeing groups like the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, come out and say that he should lose his job. So I think it's going to continue.
Everyone is saying we need to deplatform Tucker Carlson. But if you get rid of his show, he'll just come back more popular, like that guy. What's his name? You never hear about his racist rants anymore. I can't think of it.
Mr. State Trooper, please don't stop me.
Sadly, we're back where we started. Because yesterday, just a few miles from the Minneapolis courthouse, another Black man was killed by police. In this case, it's 20-year-old Dante Wright, who was shot in the Minneapolis suburb of Brooklyn Center during a routine traffic stop. After pulling Wright over, the cops determined that he had a warrant out for his arrest. And then, as the police tried to detain him, he stepped back into his car, at which point an officer shot him. Angry citizens protested all last night in front of the police station. And those protests are not likely to get any smaller after they learned that the police's official explanation for the shooting was the officer accidentally drew her handgun instead of her taser. It's dangerous when a policeman can't tell if you're holding a gun. It's insane when they can't tell if they're holding a gun. Now, you might think, hey, just don't try to flee and nothing bad will happen to you. And you would think wrong. Because, case in point, this weekend, footage emerged from an incident last December when police pulled over Army Lieutenant Caron Nazario, pepper sprayed him, and held him at gunpoint. Throughout the incident, Nazario was calm and polite. But all this was met with hostility and aggression, like in this moment.
You received an order. Obey it.
I'm honestly afraid to get out. Can I?
Yeah, you should be.
What a strange way to say thank you for your service. Police tried to pull over Lieutenant Nazario because they didn't see the temporary plates on his new SUV. And because it was a dark stretch of highway, the lieutenant slowed down, put on his blinker, and about a mile down the road, pulled over at a well-lit BP gas station. The police chose to treat it as a high-risk traffic stop. Like all dangerous criminals, he lured them to a brightly lit public gas station. He could have gotten his hands on corn nuts and scratch-offs. By the way, in the body cam footage, the temporary plates were visible. So maybe instead of giving police departments enough funding for tanks, they should get enough funding for reading glasses. They're like $5 at a BP station. This all went down December 5th. But the footage didn't come out till now because Nazario has filed a lawsuit in federal court accusing the officers of illegal search, use of excessive force, and threatening to destroy his military career by charging him with multiple crimes if he complained about their conduct. Well, that's the Windsor police motto, protect and forget about it. Now, after the video surfaced, the town fired the officer involved, but there's no guarantee what would have happened without this viral video and million-dollar lawsuit. So where does progress stand today? For more, we turn now to Late Show resident American historian Professor John Thibodeau. John, thank you for being here. Listen, I knew you were one of my writers. I just didn't know you were an historian. What are your credentials?
I exist in American history, Steve.
Fair enough. John, in light of the last year of activism, not only in the United States, but around the world, I thought things were getting better.
You thought wrong.
Why did I think that?
Because you're white.
That's what I thought. By the way, I got to say, I really like this professorial look.
Thank you. I call it my don't pull me over drag.
Oh, really? Is this the best thing to wear to not get pulled over?
Yes. I used to think the best thing to wear was an army uniform, but I thought wrong.
Please don't stop me.
Without Donald Trump as their standard bearer, and with Joe Biden getting high marks and polls on everything from the economy to his infrastructure bill to his COVID response, we're starting to get a picture of what, if anything, the post-Trump GOP stands for. From the Arkansas State Legislature passing a cruel and horrific law banning gender-affirming medical care to Georgia, Texas, and several other GOP-controlled states, passing draconian new voter suppression laws based on the lie that the 2020 election was somehow stolen from Trump. And by the way, just as a side note to conservative pundits, it's not like a gotcha to point out that you need ID to fly on an airplane or pick up your tickets from a will call booth at a baseball game, since those are not constitutional rights. There's no 28th Amendment guaranteeing the right to pee in a trough at a Mets game next to a guy bragging how he once met Wally Backman at a Denny's in Las Vegas. These voter suppression laws have been motivated by the lie that there was widespread fraud in the 2020 election, which there was not. One of the biggest purveyors of that lie has been Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. You know, Gaetz repeatedly claimed there was fraud even after admitting he didn't have any proof, and that the Trump campaign couldn't produce any proof.
I think the Department of Justice has a lot of egg on their face for having not discovered a lot of this fraud as it was occurring. David, as you know, this is very hard to find, prove, and obtain relief on after the fact because so many of the ballots get commingled.
So according to Gates, the fact that you can't prove there was fraud proves there was fraud. That's the same argument your college roommate made to prove aliens built the pyramids. If aliens are advanced enough to build pyramids, then they'd also be advanced enough to make sure they don't leave any proof that they built the pyramids. So if there's no proof aliens built the pyramids, then that means aliens built the pyramids. Or not. Gates has been on the vanguard of Trumpism. He's been one of the former president's most loyal defenders and one of the strongest advocates of turning the GOP into a megaphone for Trumpism by embracing, among other things, wild conspiracy theories about everything from the election to COVID to the January 6th insurrection. For example, you might remember that on that day, as soon as members returned to the House floor, Gates cited a debunked rumor that the mob was actually full of Antifa activists.
The Washington Times has just reported some pretty compelling evidence from a facial recognition company showing that some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters. They were masquerading as Trump supporters and, in fact, were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa.
All right, first of all, you'd think Matt Gaetz, of all people, would learn not to trust facial recognition software since it would probably recognize his face as a Terry Gilliam animation or a brick with a face drawn on it. Matt Gaetz shouldn't be in Congress. He should be in the waiting room from Beetlejuice. If you ran Gaetz through facial recognition software, the computer would probably think it was a Tom Cruise Pez dispenser. He's got a weird head, you guys.
Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz could use a mask to cover his face right now. The New York Times reported last night, Gaetz asked Trump for a pardon about 4 months ago. He is said to have asked for a blanket preemptive pardon from then-President Trump during the final weeks of the administration. That's not suspicious. You know, you haven't done anything wrong when you check in with the president to ask for a pardon in case you happen to get accused of a sex crime somewhere down the line. It's not abnormal. The pardon request was reportedly seen as a non-starter at the White House, which is, that's saying a lot considering Donald Trump once wanted to nuke a hurricane. But the reason the White House denied the preemptive pardon for Matt Gaetz is because they thought it would set a bad precedent. At the time, they were only interested in setting terrible precedents, but bad president should be the title of Trump's autobiography. That really is, that's got a ring to it. Team Gaetz is pushing back on the report, of course. According to his spokesperson, Gaetz wasn't asking for a pardon for himself specifically. He asked Trump for a blanket pardon for everyone from himself to Joe Exotic. Right, that makes sense.
Last week, Gaetz was in hot water for alleged sex trafficking, paying for sex, and having sex with an underage girl sex.
I think the Department of Justice has a lot of egg on their face for having not discovered a lot of this fraud as it was occurring. David, as you know, this is very hard to find, prove, and obtain relief on after the fact.
On Thursday, we heard that Gaetz might get flipped on by his partner in crime, former Florida tax collector and realtor who's a little too excited to let you know they shot a porno in this apartment, Joel Greenberg. Greenberg is accused of procuring for Gaetz some pay for sex. He's a pimp. Late Thursday, we learned of a transaction involving Gaetz, Greenberg, and a then 18-year-old woman made on Venmo. You're doing crimes on an app? How dumb are these guys? It's like organizing a hit on Words with Friends. In May 2018, two Venmo transactions on the same night show that Gaetz sent Greenberg $900. Well, the next morning, Greenberg used the same app to send three young women varying sums of money, which amounted to $900. Okay, I know that seems incredibly stupid and incriminating, and it gets dumber. Because Gaetz labeled one of the transactions with a memo, hit up blank, but instead of blank, Gaetz wrote a nickname for one of the recipients. That is literally the dumbest thing he could have done. He could have written anything else. I'm guessing there's a folder on his laptop labeled, the porn folder of Matt Gaetz. Wait, no, I mean taxes. But don't worry, Greenberg has an airtight cover, because when he paid the three women, he wrote that the cash was for tuition, school, and school. Nothing underagey about that. It really makes you sound creepy, guilty, and guilty. And the icing on this stupid, stupid cake, At the time, all these interactions could be viewed on Gates' public Venmo page. He gave investigators the paper trail. It's all in the new movie, Catch Me If You, and you caught me. This weekend, Gates did what any scandal-plagued politician would do, give a big public speech. He traveled down to the former president's Doral Resort in Florida to speak at an event organized by Women for America First. Yes, Matt Gaetz spoke to a group of women. The subject of that speech, anyone need a ride home from band practice? During the speech, Gaetz described himself as a champion of women. Yes, he's a champion of women, but he thinks it's like golf. The lower the number, the better. Because it was a speech to women, Gaetz quoted one.
I take the words of Margaret Thatcher to heart. If you want something said, get a man. If you want something done, hire a woman.
Matt, I'm pretty sure hiring a woman is what you're in trouble for. Gaetz emphasized that no matter how much damning evidence he personally provides authorities, he's not going anywhere.
So let me assure you, I have not yet begun to fight. For the country I love and for the nation that I know benefits from America First principles.
I have not yet begun to fight for the country I love may not be the best thing to say if you've held public office for 10 years. I've worked at this Subway for 10 years, and let me assure you, I have not yet begun to make a sandwich. He even took time to thank people who stood by him.
This past week has been full of encouragement. From President Trump, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Jim Jordan, to the MAGA nation that shares so much love.
Not exactly faultless character witnesses. Your Honor, to defend my client, I call to the stand a serial sexual assaulter, a man accused of covering up sexual abuse, and a lady who believes wildfires are caused by Yiddish photon torpedoes.
Gaetz also mistakenly thought his sex crime investigation would bring him closer to a trailblazer in the genre. Gaetz tried to schedule a visit with Trump after it was first revealed that he was being investigated, but the request was rejected by aides close to the former president, who have urged Trump not to stick his neck out to defend Gaetz. Trump, of course, refusing to consort with someone caught committing sex crimes before being able to brag about them to Billy Bush.
So Trump's dodging Gaetz after Gaetz spent years parroting Trump's most unhinged lies. The next thing you know, Trump's going to start acting like he doesn't even know Matt Gaetz's name.
It was Trump's fault. It's always Trump's fault. Can it ever be like Rick Gaetz's fault? I mean, it's always Trump's fault, Rick. Every single guy, even if they hated me, they'd all contribute. But, Rick, you understand it. I don't want to make those calls.
In fairness, he definitely looks more like a Rick than a Matt. Although I'm guessing Trump just calls everyone Rick if he forgets their name. I mean, he lives in Florida, so it probably works about 60% of the time. Trump's not the only Republican apparently turning his back on Gaetz. Conservatives in general, including Gaetz's buddies on Fox News, which has hosted Gaetz more than 300 times since the summer of 2017, have suddenly gone quiet. Although part of that may be due to the fact that even though he's on TV all the damn time, nobody seems to like him much.
Another day, and yet very little response from his fellow Republicans.
Right. Well, it's an open secret that he's not well-liked among Republicans.
He has no one in Congress, almost no one, who really wants to stand with him right now. He has very few defenders.
Gaetz' own aides would regularly send embarrassing videos of their boss to other GOP operatives, meaning they didn't even like the guy.
Gaetz was never particularly popular among his House Republican colleagues.
Gaetz wasn't the only disgraced Republican at a Florida golf resort this weekend. The AP wrote an article on the former POTUS's waning influence, and they noted that on late-night TV, some have tried to scrub him out entirely, with Late Show host Stephen Colbert refusing to say his name. Okay, you got me. Guilty as noticed. But for the record, I'm not trying to scrub him out. It's just that legend has it, now that he's out of office, if you say his name three times, he appears in your bathroom mirror and then uses your toilet while complaining that it's low flush.
The name game. Shirley. Shirley, Shirley, Bo Burley, Bo Nana, Banna, Bo Furley, Be Fine, Bo Merley. Shirley.
After the whole, January 6th thing? No, even before that. It was after November 6th when he did that whole I won thing. I plan not to say the guy's name again. I think I've paid my dues in that regard. But now that the buzzkills over at the AP have mentioned it, it's no fun anymore. Besides, it's really hard coming up with synonyms for this douche nozzle's name. Have we used douche nozzle?
I don't think
You don't have to use a douche nozzle? Well, now I use douche nozzle. Now I can't use douche nozzle. Usually I call him the former president, but that gives him dignity and me flashbacks. I've also been calling him 45 because he's the 45th president, but now he's rebranding himself as 45.
Come on, everybody. I said, now let's play a game. I bet you I could make a rhyme out of anybody's name. The first letter of the name, I treat it like it wasn't there. But a B or an F or an M will appear. And then I say Bo at a B, then I say the name, then banana, fan, or an F. And then I say the name again with an F, third plane, then a B, phi, and a mo. And then I say the name again with an M this time, and there isn't any name that I can't rhyme.
Also, I'm looking for a reliable substitute for his name. Maybe I should just call him, you know, Melania's husband or Jeff Epstein's dance partner or something really insulting like Don Jr.'s father. But I have to call him something. Hopefully someday the defendant. But until then, what should I call the old president when there's a story about him? He who shall be named. I will say the most original and appropriate names on the air up to a point. They're not going to let me call him a piece of
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, AC/DC, The Replacements, Bruce Springsteen, and Shirley Ellis. And thanks to Stuart Reynolds, Kenan Thompson, Kate McKinnon, Alex Moffat, Chris Redd, Egon Wadim. Tuning out the news, Tucker Carlson, Stephen Colbert, John Thibodeau, Seth Meyers, Matt Gaetz, Jimmy Kimmel, and Donald Trump.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.